want us to look at something that I believe is often confused because we constantly go over it and constantly bring back things. And I believe women are worse at this than men because I say they don't get hysterical, they get historical. You know, they always go back to history and they remember exactly where they were, what they were doing. One of my favorite books I've ever read was Help, I'm a Prisoner in a Chinese Bakery. And the author tells about they were painting their house and every room had to be a different color. And the painters come in and the wife is telling him the color she wants. She says, do you remember the movie On the Waterfront? And he says, yes. And she says, remember they were walking down the dock? Yes. And she had this long green coat on? Yes. He said, and remember how they looked into each other's eyes as they were speaking? He says, yes. And she had this hat on, and when she turned to look into his eyes, it kind of tilted. He says, I remember that. He said, and there was a feather in her hat. He says, I remember the feather. She said, that's the color I want. And they, every little detail, and they don't forget. And somehow we forget some details we should remember. And you can tell because some people will go, and maybe they'll tell you a story, and they'll go, it was 1941, well, or maybe it was 42. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. Get on with the story. Yeah. We're here about the story. God wants us to know something, and he tells us, and set it up so that we shouldn't ever forget it, but we often do. And it's concerning the sanctuary service and also concerning, because remember, the sanctuary service pointed forward to the cross, or did the cross point call us back to the sanctuary service? But the whole idea was that it was supposed to take care of sin. And yet there are still Christians who either think they have to pay for their sins or they're being punished because of their sins. Yeah. Maybe you've never done this, but I've in my mind said, I don't know, Lord. I don't ever remember. I mean, I've done some bad things, but I don't ever remember doing anything bad enough to deserve this. And we do that constantly. And yet God, in Leviticus chapter 16, he talks about an incident that was supposed to take place. And maybe, you know, Stan, if you haven't noticed, Stan, Frankie, and Eli put up this awning. I was going to say canopy. Canopy. Yeah. Well, actually, Frankie put it up, and we called him to babysit Eli and Stan. You know, but you know, Stan calls me out there, and he says, look, he says, it's not exactly level. And I'm thinking, the rain's still going to run off of it. We're still going to be dry on there. But, you know, he's concerned about with, and I'm saying, no, it's there and it works. And God says here, he says, this works. But man couldn't leave it alone because God's going to give some instructions on what to do and how to do it. And if you notice, churches keep trying to tweak God. You know, it would be better if, you know, it would be better if we had more of this. It would be better if we had less of this. You know what would be better? If we just listened to him and did what he said. Because every day can be different and yet the same in the sense that you just do what he says. So in Leviticus 16, he's talking about how this is supposed to happen, and he's talking about the sanctuary service and the Day of Atonement. And he says in verse 20, when he finished purifying the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he is to present the live male goat. So it says, okay, it's time to move on. I don't know. People have a hard time moving on. It's over. It's over. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about the idea of by the time you see something, it's already over, even if it's a nanosecond. Well, God wants us to know, okay, you've done this. Like, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, we come, but we still wrestle rather than rest. And he says, you're to present a male goat. This is about what is going to be known as the scapegoat. Aaron will lay both hands on the head of the live goat and will confess over it all the Israelites' wrongdoings and rebellious acts, all their sins. So here's the thing. They bring this goat. They actually brought two. One was to be sacrificed. Then this one is called the scapegoat. And Aaron, the high priest, was to pray over it and confess the sins. Kind of like we go to the cross now and confess. He says, all their sin. He is to put them on the goat's head and send it away into the wilderness by the man's appointed for the task. So someone had to take the goat and take him into the wilderness. Stay with me here, because this is where God says something happens here. And this is where misinterpretation takes, because some people believe the scapegoat is Lucifer, because he's going to pay for all of our sins. And some people believe the scapegoat is Jesus, because he paid for all of our sins. And they get hung up on, is it Lucifer or Jesus? And they miss the whole point of the theology that God is trying to get across here. And maybe it's because in translation, it just loses it. He says, so someone is appointed. See, once all the sin is transferred over, it can't stay where it is. Because where is it? It's in the church. It's in the church. And someone's appointed to get it out of the church. Now, here's the thing. If there is sin in the church, it needs to get out. That's the first thing. The second thing is, they were to take it out, he says. The goat will carry on it all the wrongdoings into a desolate land, and he will release it there. The word in Hebrew It says a desolate land. It says a place that is cut off. A place that is uninhabitable. A place that nothing can be sustained. So the theory was someone would take it out and let it go and then go back to the sanctuary and trust God that once it was put in a desolate place, it would die and be gone. There's a problem here. I know Kay Price says she's a professional worrier. Yeah. So this is what, if Kay were alive back, what if the goat doesn't die? What if it finds another goat and reproduces? Then, you know, all of our sins are still alive. They're just somewhere else. They're not here, but they're still around. What if it reproduces with a different kind of animal? And then it comes back into the church, but it doesn't look like it did when it went away. You know, these are all good questions. And, you know, that could happen except for the fact that God was in control and they were not. And the problem is God is in control and we're not. So what they would do is they would send somebody to take the goat out and they would take it to a desolate land, which means to be cut off. A place that is uninhabitable by man or beast. And they would follow the goat. And they would follow the goat until it got near a cliff. And then they'd give it a little shove. I know God's going to take care of my sins, but he needs my help. Yeah. Does he know how blessed he is to have me? That goat could wander out there for years. See, we either trust God or we don't. I'm saying that because Tuesday's coming. And we either trust God or we don't. And God says, concerning your sins, he says, it's a desolate place. It's a place uninhabitable. It's a place where no one can dwell. That's our sins. That's what God says. He says, I will cast everything upon me. Well, you know, I can handle the lying. Yeah. I can stop lying. Kind of like I can quit smoking. Yeah, Mark Twain said, quitting smoking's easy. I've done it 1,000 times. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I quit smoking. I know people, doctors will say to me, when did you quit smoking? I said, 1972. I remember it well. And every Sabbath, I'd get in the pulpit, and I'd go, man, a cigarette would taste good right now. You know it would taste good? And Kate, tell you, you know, B.C., before Christianity, whenever the phone rang, we put a 25-foot cord on it. You're too young to remember phones with cords. Frankie, ask Frankie. He'll tell you. You know, they used to have cords on them, actually. And so we put a 25-foot cord because when I get on the phone, after I quit smoking, you know, as soon as I got on the phone, I'd start smoking. But if you quit smoking, you got to do something. So I started walking. So I had this long cord, yeah, and it'd walk and walk. You had to replace it with something. And Christians replaced the scapegoat with penance, Yeah, I've got to pay somehow. We even think that Christians have replaced it with restitution. We've got to, you know, I think one of the words they're using now is reparations. Yeah, we have to pay back because we did, you know, I mean, so many evil things were done. We have to pay for it somehow. And God says, you can. Remember, there used to be a song, he paid a debt he did not owe. No, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Christ Jesus came and took my sins away. Yeah. We can't pay it. I don't care how much you pay. I don't care how much you give or how little you can't pay it. You can't pay it. And so he says this was supposed to symbolize that the sins are gone. I don't know who the first person who said it was, but I'll guarantee you someone said, I can attest to that because I saw the goat fall off a cliff. They're gone. But how do you know he fell off the cliff? Well, let's just say God moved him over the cliff. Somebody, you know, we always want, how do you know it's so? How do you know it's so? How do you know when you flip the switch, the light's going to come on? We just believe it does. We believe that the lights are going to come on, but we don't believe God is in control. He says in Psalm 103, okay, are my sins really gone? Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed. Take the hour and put my in there. Take the us out. Because, see, I'm not that concerned about your sins. Yeah. I won't have to pay for them. Yeah. I'm concerned about, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my sins from me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my dad. And here's the way the church does it. It's them, oh Lord. You know, if they would just stop doing this, if they would just worship like this, if they would just do like this, I can remember Sister Buster Knuckles would come in. And if you didn't have your hands folded, because the right thumb had to be over the left. If the left was, and you know what we'd do sometime? Right after she went by, we'd switch our thumbs. Yeah. People, when you're 6 years old, that's a big thing. Yeah. Here she comes. Put it back over. Is she gone? And that's what we do with God. Yeah. We think we're in control. If we don't do it just the right way, it doesn't work. If we don't look just the same, it doesn't work. There was a song back in the 60s, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. Little houses on the hillside, little houses, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. How's God going to know you're a Christian if you don't dress right? How's God going to know you're a Christian when he looks at that plate of yours and sees what's on it? Evidently, they've never read, God doesn't look at your wardrobe or your plate. He looks at your heart. See, it says, my sheep know my voice. Here's another thing. He says, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. And we've been taught to look at everything. He says, but as far as the east is from the west. There's a song, more modern song, that Casting Crowns sings. And it says, from one stretched hand to the other, Lord, how far is the east from the west? From one stretched hand. And he had that song written for years. Except he couldn't. He said, I don't know how to finish this. I said, I've got how long? Lord, how far is the east from the west? He said, and a friend of his, he was talking to a friend of his. He said, well, that's easy. From one stretched hand to the other. He said, that's it. That's it. It's Calvary. How far is the east from the west? From one stretched hand to the other. That's how far I've removed them from you. That's how far it is. Anything you're worrying about right now. Are we going to have Thanksgiving? If we do, do I have to wear a mask between bites? Have you ever thought about the stupid stuff we worry about? I mean, I had to jump out of the car running the store this morning, and I thought to myself, I can't go in. I don't have a mask on. And then I got to thinking, maybe nobody will notice. They've never seen me like, they're going to be so taken back when they see me dressed like this that they won't notice I don't have a mask on. They've never seen me like this. Then I got to thinking, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? But that's what happens. How far is it? Has it really been removed that far? Has it really taken away? Because let me tell you something. People will remind you. They will remind you. They get historical, not hysterical. You know? And in Isaiah chapter 44. Verse 22. God says exactly what, see, our problem is, we know Jesus has taken our sins. But, I know he's taken my sins, but the thing is, he hasn't taken your sins. He's taken everything. Yeah. He's taken any problem you have. He's got this. Yeah. Any enemy you have, he's got that covered. I don't know if you saw this week, Walmart got rid of all, they stopped selling ammo a while back. Except for hunting. They were still sent shotguns and a hunt, because you can't kill people with shotguns, evidently. You know. Evidently, they've never watched old westerns or anything. And this week, they took all the ammo and shotguns out. And someone went and asked, why? They said, well, the election's coming. Well, that made sense. Of course, I don't know if you know this, but Walmart's the only place where you can buy shotguns and ammo. So that'll solve it. And see, man always thinks he has the answer, and man always thinks appearances mean more than actual actions. So, here's the real reason why I believe they did it. They were afraid a lawyer was going to sue them if somebody could trace that gun back to Walmart. I mean, there are people that want to trace things back, like, to Ford. If you're involved in an accident with a Ford, maybe Ford should be liable and not you. Or not really Ford, maybe just the guy who sold it to you. Well, not the actual salesman, because they don't have that much money. But the dealership. Well, not really the dealership, but the Ford family. Yeah. And that's what Satan does. Well, whose fault was it? Whose fault was it? God says this in Isaiah. He says, I have swept your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. I can't go to church. You don't know what I've done. And let's face it, probably just about everyone has something in their life they don't want anyone to know. Like, I don't know, maybe you voted Democrat at one time. You know? Think about what it is. And you don't have to think long, because the devil's good at that. He'll bring it to your mind. And God says, you know what? I don't know why you're talking about that. I already paid for that. I already took that away. Have you ever tried to drive a vehicle you've gotten rid of? My son called me yesterday, 2 days ago. He said, I think the four-wheel drive's gone out in the Dakota. Okay. I mean, I gave the truck to him. It's not my problem anymore. Yeah. 3 months ago, the warranty company calls me and says, would you like to extend the warranty? I said, no, it's not mine, but I'll call my son, see if he wants to. I called him. I said, they want to know if you want to extend the warranty. He said, yeah. 300,000 miles, probably not. Because I'm not going to have it that long anyhow. Tell him no.
Okay.
You know why I said okay? See, if it was mine, I would say, 300,000 miles, I better keep this warranty. Seeing they've already put an engine in it, they've already done the whole rear end, whole new air conditioning system, you know, over the years that we've had it. And each time I've had to pay $100, but let's see, the engine was $4,000, the air conditioning was $4,200, the rear end was $3,800, and I paid $300. Yeah, I think I do want to keep that warranty. How much was it? $150 a month. It's now, it didn't cost me that when I originally got $150 a month. So let's see, that was 2 months ago. Now, I'm not a mechanic. I think it's going to cost more than $300 if he wanted to get. It'll probably cost $300 to have it looked at. Think about it. But that's okay. You know why? It's not mine anymore. It's not mine anymore. You know what would be worse? We'd still be using it for pickups at the storehouse. And now I don't have four-wheel drive, and winter's coming, and I have to worry about snow, and yeah. It's not my problem because I gave it away. God says, if you give it to me, it's not. Here's what he says. Are you listening, Stan? It's not your problem. Are you listening? It's not your problem. I've swept them away. I've taken them. I first tried the scapegoat. They didn't get it. They thought, you know, I need help getting rid of your sins. I don't need help. I've already done it. It's taken care of. He says, I've swept them, swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Therefore, since there is the scripture that says, have you considered my servant Job, a man who knew no sin? There's another scripture that says, all have sinned. And I've looked at the footnotes. It doesn't say except Job. All have sinned and come short. What made Job sinless? He believed, just like Abraham, and it was counted. He didn't just believe in God. See, a lot of us believe in God. We just don't believe God. We believe he can. I mean, I believe he can heal Eli, but I'm not sure about this headache. I mean, cancer's easy compared to a headache. Think about it. I know he can because I've seen it over and over. I know I've seen water come from a rock. I've picked up manna every morning, but I don't know if we'll do it again tomorrow. Same book, couple chapters over, Isaiah 53. Verse 8 says, he was taken away because of oppression and judgment, and who considered his fate? For he was cut off. It's odd. You know that word cut off? It's the same exact Hebrew word he used for the scapegoat. Same exact word. They translated it different. Remember I said the Hebrew word meant to be cut off, to go to a desolate place, to be uninhabitable? He was cut off. He went to a place that was uninhabitable. No human, no man or beast could survive where he was. Only one. Only one. He was excluded. He was cut off. Same word from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. In other words, it's over. You either believe it or you don't. And I've been telling people, if you watch the Trump presidency, you can see the New Testament. 2016. The election's over. Some chose not to accept it, and they've been miserable for four, well, they're going to be miserable for 8 years. Think about it. Why? Because they haven't accepted something that has already happened, and they want to know, Mr. President, should you lose, will there be a peaceful transfer of power? See, they're telling you the truth. They're just not telling you the whole truth. Here's the whole truth. Mr. President, should you lose, will there be a peaceful transfer of power, or are you going to act like we have? Isn't that really what they're asking? I mean, impeached, investigated. I mean, talked about like a redheaded stepchild. Going after the wife. Going after the kids. Going after the friends. Is that what you're going to do, Mr. President? Because I'm worried. Because, see, if we win, it's not a problem. But if you win, it's a problem, because then you will have the power. Well, here's news, people. He won. And he has the power. Are you going to act like those who said, crucify, crucify? Because that just means that's, have you ever heard this? Every time you sin, you crucify him again. Scripture says he died once. That doesn't give me license to sin, because they said to Paul, so then what should we do, sin more? God forbid, he said. God forbid. No. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate it. It says he was cut off. Same exact thing that was the scapegoat was supposed to point forward to Christ. And churches are saying, no, it's Satan. Look, you can debate that all you want. But it says he was cut off. And he uses the same exact word, not when he's talking about Satan, but when he's talking about Jesus. And yeah, that's not the first time. Some of you may remember years ago did a sermon called Jesus, the Serpent. Because he says, as Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Yeah. Is the serpent Lucifer? Yes. But if you looked at the serpent, I don't know if you realize this or not, but a sinner died for you. The scapegoat was both. It was, yes, Lucifer's going to pay for sins. But Isaiah says it's also him. It's also Jesus. It's also the serpent in the garden was Lucifer, but the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. Look at the serpent and be healed. I can't accept that. You don't have to. You can feel bad if it makes you feel better. Jesus says, understand this. Just like the pastor isn't worrying about that four-wheel drive being there, he said, what do you think I should do? I said, well, I think you should start looking for another vehicle. Hello? Yeah. Now, if God blessed me, I'd have no problem giving him the four-wheel drive I'm driving. I have no problem with that. And you know the bad part about all this? That Dodge had all the accoutrements. I mean, it had things I didn't even want. Had heated mirrors. You need them, Stan. Yeah, it was nice coming out in the winter and there's ice and, you know, just, yeah, it was nice. It had power windows. You know what I have now? Crank windows. You remember those? Yeah. It had everything. But once you give it away, I don't know if you've been watching any of the rallies, but this week I happened to see one or two or three or four or five or six, and at one of them he said, I don't know if you people realize, but I had a pretty good life. People liked me. They used to write nice things about me. until I came down the escalator. See? You know what keeps him going? Not what they say. Or is he going, not what they say. But what he heard when he was in Norman Vincent Peale's church. You're a child of the King. And the Bible says, you're a royal priesthood. I don't know who Satan thinks he is, but maybe you don't know this about Satan, but he's a liar. When he says you haven't confessed all your sins, because I had a doctor in a church who used to tell me all the time, I'm not concerned at all about my sins of commission. I'm concerned about my sins of omission. The sins I've committed, and I don't even remember committing them. What's God going to do? I said, he's got this. He's got it all. See, Jesus didn't say, Dad, I'll do this, but only for the ones they can remember. For the ones they can't remember, they're on their own. I got this. I got this. See, the scapegoat was supposed to teach us that once our sins go to a place, they're cut off. Why do you think a prophet is without honor in his own country? Because everyone, Frankie, if you ever went back to Jersey, see, I'll tell you who they see, little Frankie. Yeah, the one who used to terrorize the neighbor's dog. Yeah. The one who used to tie cat's tails together and then hang them over clothesline. That's who they see. They remember that. But I'm changed now. Of course you are. You can't go back because they're going to constantly remind you and try to bring it up and say you haven't changed. But you know, it isn't that you've changed. It's that I've given it away. It isn't that the Dodge doesn't have vehicle problems. I gave it away. And once I give it away, guess what? It's not my problem. Have you given them away? Tuesday's coming. How many people stayed up all night last election 2016? You know when I went to bed? 8 o'clock, they said the polls are closed. Returns will begin coming in. I went to bed. I already knew who won. Yeah. Now, was I excited when I got up the next morning and turned in? Yes. See, even though I know he took my sins, I still get excited every time I come to the cross because I realize I'm not who I used to be and I'm not who I'm going to be. But I know whether it's used to be or going to be, he's with me because I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the Lord your God. And when I say it's over, it's over. But I remember Hop. Poor guy couldn't chase us because he had that wooden leg. So we used to steal candy from his store. Because even at 10, 11 years old, you can outrun a guy with a wooden leg. Yeah. I got this. And guess who's going to be glad to see you? Because he never thought of all the people in that little hometown. Yeah. Forget Paul and Stephen meeting. I want you people to be looking for me and Hop. Yeah, I didn't even know what the guy's name was. We all called him Hop because he hopped when he tried to chase us. And you can't go fast hopping. I mean, when he sees me up there, because he was a good man, yeah, he sees me, and he's going to go, think about it. how did I? And should he ask, how did you get here? Same way you did, Hop. I gave it away. I gave it away. I gave it away. And I actually believe it's gone. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. It's gone. He says. He was struck. Because of my people's rebellion. If we could just be better people. Yeah. Went to the doctor the other day, and they said, how much do you weigh? I said, 110. And I said, I was only off by one. Yeah. You mean 111? I said, no, put the one on the other end. Yeah. I mean, how far am I off? Yeah. Then she said, you know, your blood pressure is a little high. I said, yours would be too if you gained 100 pounds the minute you walked in the office. She said, you ain't right. I said, but I ain't wrong. God says, trust me on this. Trust me on this. Yeah, but. Sheep follow goat's butt. Who is the scapegoat? Lucifer? Or Jesus? Who was the serpent? Lucifer or Jesus? While y'all are debating that, I'm just going to accept the man on the cross and believe that when he told me, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as wool. I want to believe him when he said, have you considered my servant Job a man who knew no sin? Why? Because he gave it away. Peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace. Have you ever met people who say, I can't sleep at night. My mind just keeps going and going and going. Yeah. Yeah. No. In the presence of one or two witnesses, you can ask, hey, how many nights I have trouble sleeping? And you can count them on no fingers. Why? Because anything that happened, it's been given to him. I didn't get off the phone and say, okay, how are we going to pay for this four-wheel drive? You know how much that costs? She would say, call Frankie and see. I'd say, free at last, free at last. Praise God Almighty. I gave it away. I gave it away. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to use it. Because when I see Dave Powell, too, see, because he's the one who sold it to me, I'm going to say, thanks a lot. Yeah. People, you can use it against Satan. You can have fun with him, but people, just don't take it back. I didn't say, you know what? That's my truck. Get it over there and I'll pay for it. No. You better be looking for another vehicle. Because winter's coming. Well, what kind do you think I should get? I think you need one with four-wheel drive. I've been down your driveway. Okay. Here's how that finished. I'll be praying for you. You know why? So when he gets a good deal, he can't tell me he got a good deal. I got him that deal through prayers. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give God the credit for it all the way. To God be the glory. People just don't. Please don't. Please. We debate over the scapegoat. We look at the sanctuary service, and we forget the detail was it's been taken away from you. But, you know, I'm not sure it's gone, so I better push him over a cliff. You know, my sin isn't gone till I pay the person back. No, your sin was gone 2,000 years ago. Should you pay him back? Probably to remind you. Because he says, I will remember them no more. It's all about faith. A famous theologian, Stan Williams, told me one time, faith and fear both ask you to do the same thing, believe in something you can't see. Your choice. Your choice. Has he taken them? Then act like it. You know, act like they're gone. 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 They don't cost me a thing. They will cost you as much as that four-wheel drive is going to cost me. Nothing. Because it's been given away. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Spirit. If we can just get that into our minds, I'm not concerned about the election because I've already given that to him. You know? And besides, I know how it's going to. He's shown me already how it's going to turn out. You know, it's going to turn out to his glory. People, I tell the people at the storehouse every Tuesday and Thursday, Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. We have some choices to make. I don't know about you, but I remember being in the service. My happiest days were when I knew I was leaving. I mean, I accomplished more work. I had a better attitude, you know, because I knew I was leaving. See, people say, "Yeah, why do you work so hard now?" Because I know I'm leaving. I love it. I love it. I'm going home. Jesus is coming. I'm going home. I'm going home with Jesus, just like the song says. May not know the moment, may not know the day. I know that I'll be gone when he calls his church away. I know I'm going, and that makes me excited. No matter how the election turns out, I'm going home. 2 days before I got out of the service, we got a new captain. Miserable guy. I mean, he made Cruella de Vil look, you know, kind. And people were going, why are you so high? I said, I'm going home. I can put up with anything for 2 days. Yeah. Think about it. Are you going home? Then start looking like it and living like it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're thankful that you mean what you say and you say what you mean. And you said you took our sins to an uninhabited place, a place called Calvary. No one else could have survived, but Father, you sent the perfect one to do it. And we just thank you, Father, for allowing us the privilege of carrying them to a desolate place, carrying them to a place where they will be cut off from our lives. Cut off, Father, so that we don't have to dwell on them, so that we don't have to, Father, pay for something that's already been paid for. We just thank you, Father, because you are just who you say you are. Now give us, Father, give us that peace that passes understanding. Because, Father, if we don't truly give and give it away totally, we don't have that peace. Give us that peace and give us the strength, Father, to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.